Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
306 DGS and KMOX. If you're listening to 1120, you don't gotta. Sounds a lot better on 98.7 FM. Sounds a ton better on the Odyssey app. It's really pretty easy. If you have a smartphone, which I'm sure you do, just go to your app store, download it. You can listen to not just KMOX. You can listen to any of our sister stations. I sometimes listen to CNN on the way home because I can't listen one more minute to Wheeler.
I don't blame you.
Plus, quit following me to the bathroom, dude.
I mean,
you guys are on the same schedule or something?
Every hour. Every hour. And I'm like, you know, Dave's got to go.
I'm texting him during the segment like, I'm going, are you going?
And I'm like, shh, yes.
Kids are like girls. You got to go to the bathroom together.
Like girls.
Go to the powder room.
Okay. I know you have another segment, but I have a follow-up question.
All right.
About the Cardinals.
Okay.
My intuition is that players will come to St. Louis for less money because St. Louis is so great. Is that a lie that I've been told, or is that a real thing?
Probably more an exaggeration than a lie. I don't think that people come here for, like, the big stars don't come here for less. You know, but in reality, though, the Cardinals don't tend to get their best players in free agency. So really, that rule hasn't been tested too much, right? Like, they traded for Nolan Arenado. They traded for Paul Goldschmidt. And Arenado came with a top-of-the-market contract that was partially paid by the Rockies because they're dumb. And then they re-signed Goldschmidt, but it was kind of a market value deal for a player of his age at that time. That the time that they did the deal, the most recent one is the signing of the catcher Wilson Contreras, and he got about what everybody thought he would.
Okay.
I mean, it was kind of the range everybody thought he was going to get.
So it's one of those thumbs on the scale.
Yeah, I do think that some guys are more likely to stay if they've had a positive experience here, but some guys didn't have a positive experience. I don't think it's either I think it's more
a
plus.
What a great question. Who are the Cardinal haters out there, like players?
There aren't many. I mean, I think it might be somebody that was here that didn't have a good year and didn't turn out well for them. You know, like there was the end of Dexter Fowler's time wasn't good. So and he was past it, so it's really a bad example. There aren't many recent examples of a Cardinals player who hit free agency in their prime and left because they weren't happy here. Like, Albert left, but he left for the money, for the bigger contract, not because he didn't like being in St. Louis. The players that come here, though, are pretty unanimous in saying they love it because it's different here.
Yeah.
And the difference isn't necessarily better fans. To them, it isn't. Yeah. I mean, we'll call it best fans in baseball. Every fan base thinks that they're the best. Yankees broadcasters say the same thing about Yankee fans. That's normal. I do think the Cardinal fan base is much better than a lot of them. I've experienced a lot of them. I think it's a better, more loyal fan base. But it's easier to be that when you're good every year for 25 years.
Let me blow your mind.
What's that?
I'm not comfortable saying it on the air for obvious reasons, but absolutely true story. When I was 26, 27, I had a softball team, remaining guys from law school, other friends I'd picked up, and we're really good. We weren't like traveling, but we're good. And I forget the connection. It wasn't mine, but we got two Cardinal players to play on our team.
Nice.
One was Kurt Ford. And he was amazing. The other guy had lost it so much that I batted him ninth.
Ooh.
And he struck out a lot in slow pitch softball. I'll tell you off the air.
I can't wait to hear that.
All right, what do you got for us?
All right, so you guys wanted the thing I have set up, my number one, is kind of a mix between fun and an interesting conversation. The other one is more serious. You guys have a preference? Because I got a first-round draft choice. And the first-round draft choice is a little bit more toward the fun side.
Yeah.
All right.
Fun.
So Andrew watched it. You watched part of it. I watched last night. And Rachel, you didn't watch. Are you going to watch The Last of Us?
Yeah, I'll watch it eventually.
So you should, because it's awesome. But this is based on that. It's not about the show last night. But what's really cool about the show, and it kind of, as you know, the gamer in me, and I'm sure Andrew would agree with this, like there's a lot of elements in the show. You're like, that's what it's like when I'm playing these video games. And it's what I like about them. Like, and the key part is in those kinds of games and in this kind of show, everything matters. Like if you see something on the ground, you pick it up. If you see something that seems to be cast aside in the games, you pick it up. And it always, the reason I like this is it gets me thinking, what if that happened in real life? If you were in this post-apocalyptic world, and that's not a giveaway, it's part of the storyline of The Last of Us that you see in the previews and things like that. If you're in that kind of a world where basically society has collapsed and you just got to survive, you've got to find your way through, and there are pockets of civilization, but then there's a lot that's not good. Forget zombies or whatever. That's what happened. How do you think you would handle it? Would you be gung-ho? Would you be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to go get drunk all the time and I'm not going to do anything. Like, because I think there are a lot of valid ways that people would handle those things because everybody's different. I'm just curious if you've ever put yourself in that mindset. Because you do when you're playing these video games. Because you're thinking that way in the game. How do I survive? How do I not get killed?
I can tell you the closest I've came and I can tell you my true reaction.
Okay.
Which the guys have had fun with over the years. Back in, I don't know, 2009-ish, something, Phoebe was a toddler. We had a super bad ice storm.
Uh-huh.
And everyone was without power for like 3 days, 4 days, something like that. And on day one, I decided, well, I'm going to be proactive. And I'm taking my family to the Doubletree out in Chesterfield. And I have to first clean off Maureen's car. So I took, I don't know, a butcher's knife or something. And I didn't even have time. Like, this baby will be frozen solid. And so I really dicked up her car pretty bad. And, like, just scrapes and scratches all over. And I'm like, everyone, get in the car now! And we met another family who we were hanging out with, and we all stayed at the Doubletree for like 2-3 days, and I've never felt better. I've never felt like more of a man. I was like, okay, kids, there's a breakfast buffet every day. Go get your bananas. And we come home after 3 days, and I see the next door neighbor. I'm like, how did you make it through? He goes, oh, you know, we just had a fire going in the fireplace all the time. We're fine.
Yeah.
And Maureen was so mad. It's like when the tornado was hitting, and I opened all the windows.
Which is not what you're supposed to
do. I know now. And all the art fell off, and she's like, you jackass. So I'm very proactive in a crisis and evidently make all bad decisions.
But in this kind of scenario, though, that would be required. Right? Like, end of civilization. That immediacy would be required. Right? It's not like, well, whoopsie. I mean, you'd be like, okay, gotta go. Like, gotta go now.
I'm probably not going to be among the first to be taken down by zombies, but I'm probably shooting a lot of neighbors.
He was a zombie?
Dave's like, I don't need allies. Get out of here. I've thought about this. I always think, like, what if the power grid goes down and, like, I can't, you know, radio is rendered useless. Phones,
batteries die.
Our cars don't even work. And I've really thought about this. I'm like, how would I get my cat to Grafton? Because I would want to go meet up with my family.
Sure.
And I think I would try to
write. That's a great euphemism. Dude, I'm getting that cat to Grafton.
But if it were like the end of the world, I think I would have more things to worry about just being a woman. You're kind of at a disadvantage. You have to like look out for giant creeps. I think that's like the first thing that goes in society is like any sort of, you know, social protection. But I think I would do pretty well. Like, I think I would have my head on a swivel. I think I'm extremely paranoid. So I think that would work in my favor in the end of the world type situation. And I would just focus on finding a safe space and then hoarding as much stuff there as I possibly could.
We would be a good team.
Yeah.
The four of us. Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
What would you provide to the team?
Dave's got the guns.
Reaction.
No, Dave's got the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
Dave do got the guns.
Yeah, for real.
Daddy got guns.
I think, honestly, Andrew and I would be huge assets in that because of how your brain works. Well, like, I think of all of those things, and it's like, you got to think about what you would gather. What would you pick up? What would you just ignore?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things would you keep? How many clothes would you keep? What kinds of clothes would you keep? I mean, like, that's all in my head from years and years and years and years of doing these things in video games.
I'll say I can't run very fast or very far. I will say that.
Yeah, but normally,
so
like,
which is an advantage to me.
That might be a problem for one of us.
You know, that's the whole point, right? You don't have to be fast. You just got to be faster than the slowest person in the group.
You know what I like to do when I can't sleep? One of my, like, sleep things to kind of help, you know, your distract your brain or whatever, is I'm because I can't believe I'm actually saying this right now. I will take, like, a structure I've been in, like somebody's house or, like, somebody's basement or whatever.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I'll think about, like, how I can fortify it in the event of I need to fortify this place for some kind of defense.
Of all the things you've said on the show, that's what you're hesitating
about? Yeah, that's a good one.
He's like, I can't believe I'm about to say this.
I love the what-if scenarios. Yeah. That's why I like prison movies with, like, what would you do in that difficult terror? That's why I like, honestly, it's partly why I like war movies. Or why I'm into Saving Private Ryan, or you watch Band of Brothers. And there are people that have done those things, which is also equally fascinating to me. And you don't want to be tested. I don't ever want to be in any of those scenarios. But you do wonder, don't you?
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a fun exercise in your head. You just don't want it to happen in real life.
I can tell you this, that 2008-ish or so, Nick and I did the Grand Canyon. And we did 3 days in the Grand Canyon, which... I swear to God, I don't know why I thought it would be gently rolling hills. It's called the Grand Canyon.
It's a giant hole in the ground.
And we had an amazing time. It was an amazing experience. We slept in a tent out under the stars. But 98% of the time in my head, I was like, God, this sucks. It's straight. We went straight down. Now we're going straight up. Like,
weren't you on keto, too? That didn't help you.
Sister. I got it. One of the dumbest things ever. I was doing the Fat Man competition. Me and five of my buddies put in a bunch of money, and it's like the weigh-in is a week after we get out of the Grand Canyon. I was doing keto. Show up, get my backpack from our guide, full of payday bars, and I'm like, I'm on Atkins. And he goes, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah, I'm in a pretty substantial bet right now. And he's like, I lived on tiny pieces of meat. I killed a squirrel and ate it raw. It was horrible. 322 DGS. What do we got coming up? Gonna talk to Dave Murray. Gonna do headlines. Gonna do Sweet 16. Matt Pauly's coming up. Can I revisit something from that last segment?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
When Andrew hesitated to say something.
Yeah.
I, for real, half of me was like, this is going to be great. And half of me is like, this is where it all ends.
It's been 23
and
years.
I just need a little explanation why the guy who proudly says, I drive in the left lane while reading a book, and it's okay to defraud people so long as they have a lot of money. Why you thought what would bring you down was that when you can't sleep, you think about fortifying a building.
It's embarrassing.
It is not.
That's embarrassing.
It's
yeah,
a cool
it's
thing.
Like an embarrassing thing.
It's
the
like
other
a
things
cozy
are
thing people do.
The other things are normal and correct.
What do you like? What do you do when you can't sleep like that? Do you get to do the? Do you play that same game?
No, I've talked about this a lot. Mine is. I mean, it's pretty easy to diagnose. Whether I have too much responsibility in my life or I just think I do, my scenarios are always I have no responsibility. And it's typically I've been shot. And it's typically I've been shot doing something heroic because it's a fantasy.
Okay.
So, like, for example, a long time when was back when there were banks and I would go to the bank, it was always like someone tries to rob the bank and I stop them and I get shot during it. And the people are standing over me like, oh, my God, we lost a good one. And I find it cozy to just lay there.
Just to, like, you don't have to do anything.
Yes.
That's why I've
now that's
before.
Darkness.
Well, I've talked before how I would have the like another one of mine is like isolation, right? Like I'm in solitary confinement.
Yeah, now I'm remembering that he likes to pretend that he's in solitary confinement, which is strange.
Yeah.
I'll put that in the strange
column.
But
I think that's part of it. I think it's like the isolation from everything.
You have no
it's
duties.
Like, I have nothing to do.
No responsibilities. Right.
Go to sleep.
I have infinite just sitting and staring.
Mine is so much more wholesome than Dave's. I like...
What a shot.
if I really can't sleep, I will go out to the couch, and like the couch is like a different land to where I'm like, I'm sleeping on like the prairie. I'm like a cowboy, or I guess a cow woman, and like there's like a fire going, and like my blanket that I'm using is not a blanket. It's like a bear skin, and I'm like... out under the stars. That helps me.
Changing the scene. Yeah, that's all right. I can feel that.
This movie called Revenge with Anthony Quinn and Kevin Costner. And Kevin Costner messes around with Anthony Quinn's wife, and he's a mafia leader, and he has him beaten to death, and they throw him out into a ditch, thinking he's going to die. And he's just laying in this ditch. He's beat to hell, and they drive off. He's in the desert. I remember thinking, that's a good one.
This is all right.
I remember that one.
Lay here under the desert stars.
I just got to lay here until I can recover.
What do you do?
And then exact my revenge. I have been in my head, and I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. I have been in my head in those times where I'm falling asleep, and I do this every night, creating an alien movie in my head. Like one of those, just a big blockbuster movie, and I'm about halfway through in about 5 years. Because you fall asleep. You get to a part,
you start
and you're like,
from the beginning every night.
Yes, I don't. I kind of try to remember where I left off.
I get it. You pick up from where you left off the night before.
And then you get going, and then all of a sudden you're like, it's the morning. And, I can't remember.
In your estimation, is it a good script?
Oh, it would be the best.
Okay. You should do something.
It's not a script. I don't have that.
It would be the greatest
I'm
movie for
Kevin. I'm seeing
the
movie in my head. So that's the part. I'd write it down. I don't know how to write anything down. I mean, like, I don't have the patience to write all that down. That's a lot of words.
Tell it to me sometime and I'll steal it.
Let's go. I won't even get into the ideas or the... It's got a name. It's everything. Because I'm only going to steal it.
You guys want some fun facts?
Yeah.
This one's not so much fun, but hotels are now charging you $50 to put your own stuff in their mini fridge.
What? To unlock the fridge or something?
Yes.
Why?
There's a sign that says, if you open this door, it's $50. So, like, we've been going and visiting colleges, and we'll come back, and we'll put our dinner in the mini fridge.
Yeah.
Maybe someone eats it in the middle of the night. $50. Now, we didn't pay that.
Right.
Because we're staying at Comfort Inns, but that's happening.
I was going to say, that's not every hotel, right? It's
no.
just like...
How do you justify that?
$1 rob or whatever.
That is
we're
nuts.
Providing you with a fridge.
Then... That's so stupid.
That's like some Airbnb-level shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, not a fun fact. There's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere now than at any time in the last 4 million years.
Is that bad?
Sounds bad.
Seems not great.
Good night, moon. Anyone read that or have it read to them at some point?
Yeah.
No.
Was originally called good night room.
Well, they are saying good night to all the things in the room, so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And why did they change it to good night moon?
It's one of the, like... It's almost like a Mandela thing. Like, had they not, we'd all go, remember Goodnight Room? Oh, my gosh. I loved reading that to Phoebe. But someone changed it, and there it is. Remember yesterday when you said, what's your least favorite song?
Yeah.
I have a list of the top 10.
Nice.
I'll just give you the top 7.
The ones that people hate the most?
People hate the most. Top 7. Mr. Roboto. We Built This City by Starship.
God, that's a good one.
Shiny Happy People.
Uh-huh.
We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
Hate.
Love it. Love
Susu Studio.
Hate.
Yep.
Kokomo by the Beach Boys. And the number one most hated song by Aerosmith, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing from Armageddon.
Awful. Worst scene ever in a movie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
334 DGS. Dave Burry is out one more day, and I'm mad because he was going to be my guy to call Kevin Wheeler out on his constant bullcrap about time zones and weather. And so I'm looking out the KMOX window right now, and it's beautiful and it's sunny. And I said to the guys, man, just imagine if it were 8 p.m., you know, like one of these days when summer gets here to look like this at 8 p.m. And you said,
this is 8 p.m. every day in the summer in the eastern, in Detroit where I grew up.
Oh, summer.
Or in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Well, but even in the winter, it's later too because of where they are. Right? I mean, they are in the western part of the eastern time zone. So the way the sun travels across, it'll be 9 o'clock in New York, 9 o'clock in Detroit.
It's the latest part of the eastern time zone to get dark.
Right.
And having spent time in Alaska, are you saying that Detroit's north enough that it's lighter longer as well?
Not really about the north as much as it is about the east and the west, because it's the same in Indianapolis. Same deal, where you can go there in the summer and the sun sets not till after 9 p.m. I mean, like July in that anywhere in that western part of the eastern time zone, it's like 9:15 before the sun goes down.
All right, everyone can be mad at me in about a month because I'm going to jinx this. But am I the only one that feels like, I know it was butt ass cold there for a few days, but so far it's been like, eh.
Yeah, Dave Murray says that winter is coming back in February. He said that yesterday in his forecast, and we have today's forecast if you'd like to hear it.
Another fun day with the grandson. I'll be back with you live tomorrow, but want to keep you up to date on the weather. It's been a beautiful day today. Increasing clouds tonight, but all is dry. Wednesday, the next storm system comes in, but again, it's an all-rain event. And I think not much in the morning on Wednesday, but we'll definitely have rain during the afternoon Wednesday, maybe even a rumble of thunder. Let's keep it breezy in 49. Rain should come to an end by about 9, 10 o'clock in the evening Wednesday night, and only down to 40. So again, definitely a rain situation. Then we settle into a quiet weather pattern, but a little bit chilly, kind of where we should be though. Thursday, partly sunny and 45. Friday and Saturday, sunny skies and 42 for high temperatures each day. We could see a little squirt of some moisture on Sunday, though it does not look like much right now. Good news, as far as the overall weather is concerned, we're going to stay quiet for a few more days, but the pattern is shifting. The West Coast storms are coming to an end. That stream of storms over the last 2.5 weeks is just about done. That means weather patterns over the middle of the country and the eastern United States should shift more to a winter-like pattern as far as moisture and temperatures. That will be unfolding as we get into the month of February. Still a long way to go there, but something to, I guess, look forward to if you still want some winter weather. Again, I'll be with you live tomorrow.
I did not enjoy Dave saying little squirt
of moisture.
That's not going to text him about this. Yeah. Can I bring something up
before
headlines here?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of harkens back to what we did with Chris and Amy earlier when we were talking, when I was talking about, conservative and progressive, not in the political sense, but in more the cultural, and you want to go back, you want to go forward, blah, 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 blah. This is a little bit like that, but being someone who makes their living by observing and analyzing and, you know, we spend a lot of time, sometimes on this show, but definitely out there in the ether of we're going to hell in a handbasket, things have never been worse, you know, yada, 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 yada. And it struck me last night that you could be right. I think that I sort of, as curmudgeonly as I can be and like that's stupid, I think I always think though that but it's gonna be okay. Like, what's gonna happen to the United States? Like, something bad? Nah. And you think about it historically, like Amy was saying, like the dirtiest, nastiest book in the world is an accurate history book. Like, where we've been as a species, where we've been as a country, like this bad stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have that in our personal lives. I mean, marriages end, relationships end, people get sick. But somehow I always think, like, especially with our country, like, but we're going to be okay.
And it's possible, and I'm not saying this to scare people. I'm just saying this to so that it's not just chatter to fill our time. But we could be towards the end. There's no guarantee that our country is going to be around in 50 years. There's no guarantee that that we'll recognize it. And I'm not pointing fingers. I really am not. I don't have anyone in my mind. I'm just saying that, am I the only one that every now and then it hits you like, oh, this isn't just talk. Things do go badly for people, marriages, relationships, your liver. Like, and when people say, like, things are going bad, I have become a little desensitized to it because we say it so much. But it can also be true.
It can be true. In regards to our country, I mean, I think we saw about 2 years ago, not that we were about to, like, lose our country forever, but we saw a democratic process being interrupted by people with bad intentions on January 6th. And the only thing standing in their way was, you know, the people who were there to do the right thing and to keep the trains moving. But we really had to rely on those people to make the correct decisions at the correct time. So it is very fragile. What we do is very fragile. And we had also never seen in the history of our country, we've always taken for granted that there would just be this peaceful transition and the presidents being gracious to each other. And, you know, it's come out later that Donald Trump did write a letter to Joe Biden that was surprisingly gracious, but he wasn't there waiting for him at the White House. He didn't attend the inauguration. We're just so used to seeing that when it does go bad, I think it's easy to go like, but it'll get better. But you still have to rely on everybody to do the right thing at the right time for things to remain on track.
Yeah. I mean, like, dark times have come in places before, right? I mean, look at Germany in World War II as an example, or even, you know, just through the world wars, and now look at where they are. Like, it's not, to me, nothing that would change is necessarily permanent. It might be a rough period, but I don't see any of it as an end. So, as an example, the Roman Empire doesn't exist anymore, right? But Italy's there. Rome is there. People still live there. They still have normal lives. They still do normal people things. The British Empire used to be the dominant force on Earth. They're not. Their change was not as dramatic as some others that we've seen. It was just kind of a gradual reducing of their influence across the world. But UK still thriving, normal place. People live there. They do normal things. And who knows? We may see some of that type of transition. You hope you can do it without the equivalent of, you know, the Nazi movement in Germany, essentially leading to the destruction, like the physical destruction of the country. But the change is pretty much normal. And just because the name on the society changes or doesn't exist anymore doesn't mean those same people aren't there living in the same places, doing the same things they were before.
As you're speaking, I'm trying to think about when I lost my innocence. And I really think it was 9/11. And it happened to many of us. It wasn't. I really felt, I was really shocked. I know, duh, right?
Right.
But I didn't think that could happen. I did not think there really could or ever would be a significant attack on American soil. And so when there was, and when I was in the St. Louis County courts doing a lady's divorce, and the bailiff yelled, "The tower's down," like, it was cognitive dissonance, man. I mean, I was trying to figure out, like, am I dreaming? What the hell? And obviously, I mean, that's a defining point for anyone who was alive at the time.
Well, we hadn't had that. Our generation, you and I, we'd never had anything like that. Because the 80s were pretty smooth. Again, not that there weren't problems, but there was no big crisis.
Yeah.
You know, our parents had JFK assassination and the Vietnam War and all that was going on in the 60s with civil rights. They had all of that. We were born just at the end of that or right after it was ending. And it was pretty smooth there for a while. And that would be the first time that was a wake up call for me. That's the first time I ever thought, holy crap, like, we could, there's bad things that could impact me. Before that, you never even had to think about it. And that was when I was 30.
Yeah. But so one reason I love this show, Mark Close isn't here anymore, but Mark's 11 years older than me, and I'm a few years older than you. We're several years older than these guys. And there are real, we've talked about this before, but like, Rachel was 10
mm-hmm.
when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nick was 7.
Yeah.
Like, you really have never lived in a non-9/11 world.
Yeah.
And I would think that experiencing it younger probably sticks with you just like any, like it would for us. You just didn't have that kind of grace period. But does that mean that it seems more normal to you?
Yeah, I would think, yeah. I mean, it's what I grew up with. So the thought of terrorism, I mean, whenever that happens when you're 10, you're just kind of like on edge about that.
We really were lucky wheels because
yeah, it's a good time to be.
My sister's 14 years older than me. My brother was 11 years older than me. They grew up in the solid era of duck and cover, get under your desk because a nuke could fall at any time.
Yeah.
By the time we came along, sure, you had Reagan and the Star Wars system and you had the day after movie. And it was something we thought about, but it wasn't something we obsessed over.
No.
And so between my sister ducking and covering in the 60s and 9/11, you had a relatively good run, which thank God I was a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that's part of why a lot of people in our generation think things being terrible now means they're the worst.
Yeah.
Because we didn't live through bad until we were 30, essentially,
mm-hmm.
where our parents, my dad was in the Army during Vietnam. My grandfather's, you know, my one grandfather didn't go to World War II because he had too many kids.
Yeah.
He had 10 kids, so they wouldn't take him. My other grandfather, though, was shot down in a plane and obviously made it through. But I mean, like.
Yeah, my dad was 5'6", 120 pounds, 17 years old, shipped off to the South Pacific.
Yeah.
Lived on ships and on islands for 4 years, came back, had to have all of his teeth pulled because he didn't have any hygiene, you know, in the Philippines and stuff. Like, yeah. It's a little different.
Yep.
When I was 17, I was dating a girl who had an in-ground pool. And
that's a pretty good get when you're
in
high school.
In hindsight, he had it better. 351 DGS, Matt Pauly joins us from the sports department. So just back from the Cards Caravan.
Yep.
And he had a little excitement.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people are talking about it. So it's getting built up probably a little bit more than it was. But we had autograph signings for kids, and it was clearly stated 15 years or younger. One of the things, the whole autograph industry and sports
weird.
Memorabilia industry,
creepy.
It's odd. It's been that way for a long time. People use their kids all the time to get autographs, and sometimes they lie about things. And there was one guy in Paducah, Kentucky, who was not happy that adults could not get the autographs. And the Cardinal staffers were so nice to him, explaining, well, this is for kids, and, you know, well, I'm going to give it to my kid. And he tried to bring out his phone and stuff, and he was starting to get aggressive, and I couldn't just like stand there and not say anything while he was kind of accosting some really, really nice people with the Cardinals. So I just, in a very nice tone, I tried to explain to him. I went through the whole, you know, this is the problem we deal with. We have to treat everybody the same. We're not saying that you don't have a kid. We're just saying that we, you know, this is a kids only thing. We're sorry that you weren't able to bring your child to this today, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, are you saying that I don't have a kid? And he brings out his phone and he starts like scrolling for photos. And he makes the comment, once you see a picture of my son, you'll never say no to me. And this is the exact tone I said. I said, sir, you're hurting yourself more than you're helping yourself right now. And I said it like that. Like, there's no confrontation in that tone. He didn't take it that way. Looks at me and says, you can't talk to me that way. And he like steps up into my face. I'm like, sir, the answer is going to be no, and we're not going to go any further on this. And I turned around basically.
Just a tip for the Cardinals. They may want to get security. I mean, it's not your job. Good for you, but that's not your job.
Yeah,
you're a broadcaster.
I don't know if I should have said, I've thought about it a lot since then. Like, what did I do the right thing to say anything? But I felt bad for these people who were a little bit younger than me. He was a big dude too. He was a little bit bigger than me. He was a little taller than me. So he was kind of intimidating as well. And it felt like somebody other than who he was talking to had to say something to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. And clearly they had a chance to get an autograph had they come at the right time.
If he would have had his kid there.
So there's no autographs for adults.
I think we had like 260 kids there who got autographs. If there's 50 kids, then yeah, everybody
gotcha.
Can get an autograph. But we stayed late even.
Yeah.
We stayed late too. Every kid that had a ticket got an autograph no matter how long it took. And we had other stops that we had to get to. So if we stayed too long there, we were going to be late for our next stop.
People ruin everything.
Yeah.
I have a few famous friends and like rock stars and stuff, and they're like, it sucks. I used to sign everything, and now I don't sign it unless it's to Matt Pauly, because I know you're just going to go sell it.
And let me say this. I think this is the most important. It was a wonderful 2 days with four amazing stops with amazing people. This was a career highlight for me. I can't tell you how much fun I had over the last 2 days. I hope they ask me to do it again. This is one of the most amazing experiences I have ever had. I'm so thankful. There was just... Look, there was a couple things that happened that was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that Matt takes the time to say how grateful he is to do stuff like that, because I think people get like used to doing cool stuff and then they, you know, sometimes take it for granted. So it's cool that you're like...
She's talking about Wheeler.
No.
Are you suggesting that I'm not owed these things?
Burn.
What?
No, I just think it's cool that he took the time, you know, to make sure that the audience knows, like, overall it was an extremely positive experience.
So we went to dinner in Evansville on Saturday night, and I'm sitting across from Kerry Robinson, Jason Mott, Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, and James Nail. And I'm just sitting there listening to him talk and tell stories and everything. And I thought to myself, how cool is it? And the restaurant was closed. They got him to open the restaurant. It was a steakhouse in Evansville that is generally closed, I guess, on Sunday night. So they opened. So we're the only ones in this restaurant. And I'm sitting at this table and I'm just listening to these guys talk. And it was really an amazing experience.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
They didn't want to open, and he said, "You're hurting yourself more than you're helping yourself." And they clicked those lights right on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.